This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor@USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
I think I'm going to come unglued. I just heard on the news, and of course you all read this, I'm sure, that Mr. Biden has pledged to nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. My take, my opinion on this is that's racist, it's prejudiced against Americans of Asian, Italian, Latino, Puerto Rican, Cuban, Filipino, Spanish, English, German, Irish, and all the others. It's prejudiced against them. It's prejudiced against men. It's prejudiced against women who call themselves men. It's prejudice against everybody except black women. Now, I don't have a problem with a black woman being on the Supreme Court. I have a problem with saying that's the pool from which we will pick. What that's saying is everybody else is not considered. It's an outrage. It's unacceptable. It's un-American. And it should not be tolerated. Who does this guy think he is? I guess he thinks he's the president. If the best qualified person to be on the Supreme Court is a black female, that's great. But selecting a person just because of one's pigmentation is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to select somebody based on their sex, of which there's only two, male and female. That's unacceptable. There was a guy who was fired, one of the best broadcasters ever, by the name of Bob Giganti. He used the radio stage name of Bob Grant. I used to listen to him when I lived on the East Coast. And he was talking about someone who got a job based on, and this is his words, I'm just quoting. He said, she got the job because she passed the gynecological and pigmentation test. And he got fired for it. He really did. And that kind of sounds like what this is all about. Choosing someone based on their pigmentation and sex. Kyle, do you have any comments?
Well, it goes right back to that tolerance thing, Vince. Why are we tolerating this? You know, our founding fathers would be considered terrorists right now because I guarantee you they wouldn't tolerate this. And that's my opinion. I can't hardly stand it. You know, it's just, this is just the stupidest thing I mean, Biden is not even there. I don't think he has two brain cells that are still firing and touching. But the people that are handling him are just as bad or worse.
Yeah, and he's got, and Jen Psaki gets paid about $180,000 to, I don't know, what would you call this? Vomit on us? What would be the word? I mean, there's a gaggle of geese, you know, a flock of birds, a herd of cows, a vomit of lies. this woman is how can she sleep at night with the lie
after
lie?
You know, when I look at her, Vince, she looks like the epitome of what a Hillary Clinton looked like at the same age. That's when I listen to her, it's like she cannot fathom. She can't and don't care, but she cannot even fathom what truth even remotely looks like.
Right. Right. Around here, she's referred to as nutsacky. Yeah, nutsacky.
Yeah.
She is a nut. Okay. So, Kyle, one of the things we were talking about compressors, and so I agree with you that if you want to achieve lightweight and portability, cast iron is, you know, what you sacrifice for lightweight and portability is durability and longevity. And so the oil-less compressors have fewer parts. They don't last as long. They make, most of them make more noise than the oil bath type compressors or oil piston compressors. But they're lighter. And I have one. I have one that I bought used, and we keep it in the crossbed toolbox of a pickup truck. So if we're on the road and we're traveling across the farm and we get a flat tire somewhere, we can bring some air and inflate the tires. And it's a 120 volt electric motor. But you know, class, how can you power a 120 volt electric motor with a car battery? Well, you use an inverter. And we have an inverter that's 800 watts. That's what's rated. It's made by a company called Stat Power. I don't think they still make them under that name anymore, but that's the Xantrex type people. The, you know, same. Some of the members of Xantrex and Stat Power and that same engineering team, I believe, and they made a really good product. So I carry an inverter hooked up with some booster cable type ends on it, you know, using booster cables because you really need a thick cable to on the DC side of an inverter. And so we just go out there with the truck and we have the inverter in the toolbox and hook up the cables to the battery, plug the compressor in, and off we go. So you can do that. So you don't need a 12-volt compressor. You can use a 120-volt compressor with an inverter, as long as the inverter is sized properly to be able to start the electric motor, which compressor takes a lot more energy to start that electric motor than to run it. And I'm thinking easily three times more current to start it, maybe four times, maybe five times more current. So keep that in mind if you're going to do this. Kyle, have you done the same thing?
I have not, Vince. Normally speaking, I don't have I've got a 400 watt inverter, but that I don't usually use that. But I did have a friend of mine one time that wired his alternator, rewired it somehow. I haven't done this yet. I've been thinking about it for quite a while, putting it on my pickup, because he rewired his alternator to be able to produce 120 volts off of his alternator, and had a two duplex receptacles right underneath the hood. And so what he would do is just start his truck and plug it into that 120 volt deal with his alternator, and he could run his little air compressors and stuff off of that. But I do know that you're going to want, if you do buy an inverter, folks, bigger is always better, up to the point where you know, cost prohibitive. I think 800 is the absolute minimum you'd want to try to run a small air compressor on. I would think you'd be better off with maybe a 1200 or 1500 watt, inverter, but that's just me. Like I said, I haven't done that, Vince. I usually figure out some way to either fill up an air tank and carry the air tank, which you would take your compressor, fill up this air tank, and it'll hold about 150 PSI. And it has its own little air nozzle, and then you can carry it out there to wherever you're filling up a tire. or if I break down somewhere on the road, I have the little 12-volt air compressors that I have in all of my vehicles that will fill up a tire if I have to plug one or something along that line out in the woods or something. And then it takes a long time with these little 12-volt air compressors, but I carry those in all of my rigs.
Yeah, and, you know, the air chuck, that's something that is was on the list for today. So, Class, when you inflate a tire, you know how you have at the end of the air hose, you typically have a brass chuck, and you push that on the, you take the tire valve cap off, and then you push the air chuck onto the tire valve, and it depresses the Schrader valve inside the tire valve stem so that you can inflate the tire, and then when you pop the chuck off, the air stops rushing out the tire valve. Well, to me, that's a pain in the neck, because we have a lot of tires here on the farm, and some of the equipment has huge tires. I mean, tires as tall as I am, and they hold a lot of air. So when they go flat, it takes a long time to fill them up. So you can buy what's called a locking air chuck. And what happens is you press a little lever, and they're typically made out of brass. You press this lever, you push it onto the threads of the tire valve, and it locks in place. And it's really kind of neat. So that's what I do, because a lot of times I have to bend over or get on the floor, and I don't like doing that. So all I do is have to bend over once, take the valve cap off, push on the locking air chuck, and it stays on as long as I'm inflating the tire. And it can take 5 minutes. So, you know, bending over for 5 minutes is something that I don't really want to do too often. So I have these locking air chucks. Have you ever used one of those, Kyle?
I have a couple. Yeah, I love them. That's the preferred method by far.
Yeah, and there's two main styles. They're made out of brass, and they both have these little levers you push to lock them on. One looks like a traditional rounded tire chuck, and the other one looks like a tubular style. And I like the tubular style the best. It seems to be, it works great for me. Kyle, I found out something else. Do you have a particular favorite tire pressure gauge / inflator? Do you have one of those?
You know, Vince, I have two or three of them, and I cannot remember the names of them right now. Both of those, there was a gentleman, the tire shop that was going out of business. And they were very expensive. You know, I could tell that these were real heavy-duty, big, you know, tire pressure gauges. And I checked them on my tires because I always try to keep them exactly at 35 pounds on a car. And so I checked it, and both of them were just, like, perfect. But I got both of those for $3 a piece. But they were just – I'll never forget that, because these were some really high-dollar tire pressure gauges. But I can't remember the name of them right off the top of my head.
Well, I think I do. I do remember the name. It's Milton, M-I-L-T-O-N. And they have a round dial with a sliding marker inside the dial, and a long lever and a red hose. And they are world class. And it's called the Milton Window Inflator Gauge. And they are absolutely the best in the world, and that's what we use here. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we come back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Yeah, it's just, this thing is just stuck in my craw. Discrimination. You know, it is illegal to discriminate against people based on their age, based on their sex, based on their heritage, based on their ethnicity. It's illegal. So how is the guy with the big chair discriminating by selecting only a person, one sex and one ethnicity for, or one pigmentation for Supreme Court, the Supreme Court justice? How's that possible? It's illegal. Okay. There is a really interesting tire. Oh, that's a Milton tire gauge, I believe you're talking about, isn't it? You think that M-I-L-T-O-N?
It very well could be, Vince. I really don't remember.
Is it made out of is the handle made out of aluminum, kind of big enough to fit in your hand with, you know, you put it in, you grip it with your hand, you push the lever, and it's still big enough that your hand doesn't cover the whole aluminum housing?
Yeah, one of them is, and then one of them is a big brass one.
Okay, the brass one I don't know about, but the aluminum one really sounds like it's the original Milton, and it's top of the line. I remember back in the 1970s when I was behind the counter at the auto parts store, you know, when somebody wanted the best one, that's what we had to offer. But you know what? It was like $30 back in the 70s. So getting one of those for $3 is just unbelievable. I don't know how you do it. You are the master.
Well, I hunt hard. I tell you that.
Yeah. There's a tool that is really, really neat. And as we talked about the locking chuck for the air hose to inflate tires. But there's another tool that's really neat, and it is it's a four-way. It's shaped like an X, and it is a tool to remove the Schrader valve from the valve stem. And so sometimes, you know, the Schrader valve leaks, and you put air in the tire, and next thing you know, air is leaking back out the valve stem. Well, it's typically the Schrader valve isn't in tight enough, or there's dirt in the Schrader valve, or something like that. And sometimes you may need to replace that little tiny Schrader valve on the inside. Well, you need a tool to do that. And there's a really neat tool. It's shaped like an X, and it's called a four-way tire valve tool. And I was working on the backhoe and had a flat tire. So I wanted to inflate this tire. I took out the Schrader valve, but didn't want to come out right. It seemed like it was cross-threaded. The little Schrader valve inside the tire valve stem seemed like it was cross-threaded. And so I was able to get it out. I put it in my pocket, and I put the locking chuck on because if you take the valve stem out, you can force more air in faster. Okay. And so if your tire bead is not seated properly, that's what you want to do. You want the maximum amount of air going in to push the bead onto the rim so that it doesn't leak out the rim anymore. Well, I did that. I took the valve, the Schrader valve out, put the locking chuck in there, and pushed air in at the maximum pressure, about 120 pounds per square inch, and it started to seat, and it was working great. So the next thing I did was I wanted to put the Schrader valve back in. And it didn't want to go in because the last guy that worked on it messed up the threads of the Schrader valve. So, and the valve stem, the inner threads. So this four-way tool that I bought back in the 1970s has a tap, and you could re-thread the inside of the tire valve. So I had it in my pocket, and I re-threaded the threads and put the old Schrader valve back in. Have you ever had that experience where you need to thread, put new threads in a tire valve on the inside?
Oh, yeah. I have actually one of those vents that I inherited from my grandfather. He had one when he was quite old, and then my dad had it, and I remember using it as a kid many times. And then when Dad passed on, I got it. And it sits in my fuel box to this day. It's brass. It's a little brass tube. And then it has the steel part going through it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So, class, you may want to think about that. You may want to look up tire valve tools. And if you want to go to eBay, you'll probably find it. And maybe you can buy one of the vintage ones that's in good shape. It should be about $4. New $4. And we'll be right back. We'll be talking a little bit about spark plugs and how to read them.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Pope Francis on Wednesday in unscripted comments told parents of children with different sexual orientations they should not condemn them, but offer them support.
Che si rivolgono allo stesso padre in la preghiera che ci fa fratelli.
He also addressed world leaders to find a peaceful resolution to the tensions at the Russian-Ukraine border. The vice president is in Honduras. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Honduras today and will return to the United States later this evening. She's there to attend the inauguration of Socialist President-elect Xiomara Castro. While there to congratulate, she reports she will be working to address the root causes of migration to the United States. State Department spokesperson Ned Price announced the United States will make sure the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline project between Russia and Germany won't go ahead if Russian troops invade Ukraine. Germany's ambassador to the United States appeared to support Price's comment. USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
When Bill Scott was sworn in as San Francisco's new police chief in January of 2017, he vowed to build trust both within the department and outside of it. With a rise in crime in the Golden City, Chief Scott addresses the media Wednesday.
Statistics are what's reported to us, and we all understand that sometimes what translates on the statistics may not be your experience. Aside from homicide, I think traditionally in policing, crimes go unreported. You know, homicide is probably the purest statistic that we have because it's really, really hard not to have a homicide report or murder reported. But short of that, everything else, we know that there are crimes that we don't get because they're not reported. From shootings to robberies to burglaries, you name it, some crimes don't get reported. And I want to put that into some context, because when we talk about our statistics, we're talking about what's reported to us, and we understand that for some people that may not be their experience, that might not be what they're seeing. They may be a victim, may not have reported it, or things in their particular, from their worldview or their point of view, might not be consistent with what we put up. This is merely what we report, and I think it's important that we understand and put into context what statistics are. As Mayor Breed said, we know there's a lot of work that we need to do. We also know that there is a lot of good work that's been done.
Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
G'day, I'm Jamel, that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Kyle's with us, and just while we're on the subject of inflating tires, etc., you know, you might get a hole in a tire. And so what do you do about that? I'll tell you what we do. We carry a tire plugging kit in each one of our vehicles. And this is a kit that has string, rubberized string type plugs that are probably about 4 or 5 inches long. There's a tool that will remount the hole where a nail might have punctured a tire if you're on the road. And then there is a it's like a needle that you push the tire plug, string plug through, you thread it through there, and then you put the needle backwards. It's actually not a needle, but it's like the needle eye, and it's attached to a handle, and you can twist that string plug into the hole that the nail made. Sometimes they come with a little bit of rubber lubricant or rubber cement, and it makes it easier to put in. And then you can seal a small hole and put air in the tire and get back off the road. Well, those plugs seem to last a long time in many cases, as long as the tire is not, you know, really, really worn where there's not much tread left. But they're not acceptable for use on the highway. I don't know if that's because most people don't know how to put them in or what the reason is, but they are not acceptable. So they're only designed for temporary use. Kyle, do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, I've had them for years and years and years. I carry them. And, you know, Vince, I've never had a problem with them highway use, and I've used them. I had one particular truck, an old Chevy that I had that I plugged up one of the 16-inch tires with. And I'm not suggesting that anybody else do this, folks. I'm just telling you what I've done. But I happened to get a big nail in this truck and tire, and it had probably at least a half inch of tread left. And I plugged that, and I drove that truck until there was practically nothing left of the tires because I get everything out of them. And that plug, you could still see it. When the tread got down there to probably 230 seconds or less, you could still see that plug, and it was still in there. I've had no problems whatsoever myself using them.
Yeah, and now they're only to be used for tubeless tires. If you have a tube in a tire, they don't work. So it's a tubeless tire that they'll work on, and I've never had a problem either. So in order to use one of these things, what we do is we take one of those spray bottles. And it can be like, I'm just going to call it like a Windex spray bottle, but typically you can buy them for around a dollar. If you buy a six-pack of them at Sam's Club, they're really a kind of a heavy-duty spray bottle, and they last years and years and years, whereas the Windex bottles are, you know, more disposable. But that style bottle, we take some dishwashing detergent liquid like Dawn, mix it, maybe a teaspoon with roughly a half a quart of water, and we spray it on the tire. Okay? And where it bubbles up is where the leak is. So if you ever have a leak and you're trying to find a leak on the tire, that's what you can do. If the tire's got mud on it, hose the tire off. Get the mud off. And if the tire's on the ground, you can spray the tire, put air in it, and see where the leak is based on the bubbles from the dishwashing detergent. Then once you find out where that leak is, you might find a nail head still sticking in there, or what's left of a nail or a screw, and you can pull it out. And once you pull it out, now you've got a much bigger leak. And you can put some of the rubber cement that may come with some of these tire plug kits, you put that on the hole. And you put some on the plug that you've threaded through the tool to install the string patch or string plug. And you thread it in there. And once you get that string plug or patch all the way in, or almost all the way in, you twist it and twist it and kind of put a knot inside the tire. And then you pull on the handle to remove the tool. And so that knot keeps that string plug from flying out. And the rubber cement and the stickiness, tackiness of the string plug holds it in place. And then what you do is you take a pair of sharp scissors or a knife or a razor blade or a box cutter, and you cut off the remaining part that's sticking out of the tire. So you might, you know, the tail, if you will. And it's good to go immediately. And we have four-wheeler tires, you know, for these four-wheelers that we ride around the farm and check the cows. And, you know, there are thorns that when we first bought the farm, there are plenty of thorn trees and locust trees. And they would drop their branches. And we've got tires that might have 5, 6, 10 holes in them. So the you can still see the plugs, and they last, and they work great. So you might want to get one of those kits, but I cannot recommend that you use it on the highway. However, I think I heard Kyle say that he's used them on the highway, we've used them on the highway, and they just work. But we can't say that because it's probably something that is frowned upon, and a tire shop will not do it. Right, Kyle?
Yep, that's exactly true. And you know as well as I do, Vince, that the best way to do it is if you've got a place where you can dismount the tire is to, you know, take the tire off the rim, mark it, and put the actual patch on the inside of the tire with the good one. You know, you sand it down, grind it down a little bit, and put the good patch on there. And, you know, Vince, they used to have these type, and I've still got some of them from my dad. The type that they were diamond shaped, and they had a little, you would use it on tubes, pretty much back when you had tubed tires. You would put these like diamond patches on there and you would light them. They would burn and you'd have this clamped over the patch, over the hole in your tube, and you would clamp these diamond patches on and light them with a match, and they would burn at a certain rate and they would melt a patch over the tube to where the hole was, over the hole in the tube, and it would actually become part of the inner tube. And I remember my dad doing that, and the other day I was out in my shop moving some stuff around, rearranging my shop, and I come across that clamp and about six of those old-time patches that I thought, that's really cool, because that brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, and those are the vulcanizing tire patches, and you're absolutely right. That's what used to happen. Now it's you peel off the back, use the rubber cement on you clean off the tire tube, you kind of sand it a little bit with a special tool that kind of scrapes the surface clean, and use a rubber tire cement, and you peel off the back of a self-adhesive kind of a tire patch, and then use what's called a stitcher. And a stitcher is kind of like a wheel on the end of a handle. And it rotates, and it applies pressure as you onto the patch to push the patch really tightly onto the surface of the tube. That's called a stitcher. Now, there's another kind of a patch that's used, and it's the only one that we use for customers. And we use them if we have time to take the tires off for ourselves for on the road vehicles. We use what's called a plug patch. So a plug patch is like a tire patch, except it has a tail in the middle. And what happens is you thread, you have to take the tire off the wheel. And then you use a grinder to grind smooth the rubber surface on the inside of the tire, get a fresh surface, flat, smooth surface, and in the area that you're going to put this plug patch. And then you know where the tire has a hole in it, and you thread from the inside of the tire this tail. And you pull it through, and of course you use the rubber cement, and then you pull it through, and now you've filled the hole with the tail in the center of the tire plug patch, and you have a really large surface. It might be the diameter of a silver dollar that is actually holding the air in, and you filled in the hole in the tire tread or the tire carcass, and it works great. But those darn things, just the patch themselves, you know, if you buy them in a box of, let's say, 25, like a tire shop would, they're about a dollar a piece, you know, to the tire shop. So they're pretty expensive. They're labor, much more labor intensive than just threading a string patch from the outside, because you have to take the wheel off, and then you have to mark where the wheel and tire, the relationship between the wheel and the tire, and make sure that the wheel weights don't pop off when you take the tire off the wheel. Because although if you let the wheel weight fall off, then you have to rebalance the tire. But if you mark where the tire and the wheel meet so that you can put it back together the same way, you won't put the tire out of balance. And that's what we do. So we have like a blue crayon, and they're different colors. Tire shops have different colors. So the tire shops around here have red crayons and orange crayons, and so we use blue. And because we want to make sure that we can identify our work from their work. So we just use a blue mark, and we mark where the tire meets the tire meets the valve stem, and we know that if we put it back together with the tire meeting the valve stem, it's still in balance as long as we still have the wheel weights in the same place, if we didn't knock them off, but we mark where they are too. So that's what, the way we do it. Kyle, any comments?
No, you know, Vince, I have not used those type of plugs personally, those type of patches. I've patched a lot of tires and a lot of tubes and stuff, but usually I've never used that one where you actually pull it through and then have the inside patch as well. But I have used the stitchers, and I've used those type of patches many times.
Okay, and before we get to spark plugs, I just wanted to mention this. Class, if this happens to you, you're going to be in for sticker shock. So a truck came in, and it smelled like gasoline. And it surely had the odor of a gas leak under the cab of a Chevy pickup truck. About 2001, 2000 model, something like that. And so we looked under the vehicle, and right on the frame, right kind of right at the back of the front seat, if you were to look straight down through the cab, if you could, I mean, there's metal there, so you can't, and there's carpeting there. But if you look right behind the back seat on the frame of the truck, that's where the fuel filter is, and that's where the leak was. And getting under there, you could see a little bit of gasoline on the fuel filter. And this fuel filter has a metal pipe going in and metal fuel line going in and out of the fuel filter, and it's threaded. So there is what's called a flare fitting, and it's the best way to do it. And so Chevrolet did that, and I think that's great. But what happened is those fittings, those flare fittings, were rusted in place. And it was really difficult to get this fuel filter off. And we had the truck on a lift, and we worked on it for a couple hours, spraying it with, you know, penetrant and to, you know, PB blaster, those kinds of things to get the fittings off so we could change the fuel filter. Well, the leak was actually right behind the fuel filter, dripping onto the fuel filter. So it made it seem like the fuel filter was leaking, but it was the fuel line. Actually, it was two fuel lines. Two fuel lines were rusted because of the road salt. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you kind of what the procedure is to change the fuel lines and how much they cost. You're not going to believe this. We're talking just 5/16 fuel line from the gas tank to the engine compartment, two of them.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kyle's with us. So, class, very quickly, this truck came in and had a fuel line leak. And that's pretty dangerous because it's really close to the catalytic converter. So the fuel vapor, the gasoline vapor, when the vehicle stops and the fuel drips, it volatilizes, and it's so close to that 1,500-degree catalytic converter, and that's plenty of heat in order to set the truck on fire. So to fix this, the fuel line was rusted through because of road salt. The design was okay, but it just couldn't take 20 years of being eaten away by road salt. So to fix this properly, some people will use a compression fitting, and they'll just cut out a section of the fuel line, use a brass compression fitting. And some people think that's okay, but we don't do that because we don't want to have a fire and have somebody die because of a failed repair on a fuel line. So we will replace the fuel line with a factory fuel line. Now, here's what it costs. A factory fuel line for a Chevrolet pickup truck, a typical 2000 to 2001, that vintage, there are two fuel lines that are in the set. $360 for the fuel lines. And it takes 4 hours to replace them because you have to take off the drive shaft for the front wheel drive, the front axle on a four-wheel drive truck, because the bolts that you need to get to, you can't get to them because of the drive shaft, the front drive shaft. So it's not a fun job. You need to drain the fuel tank because you're going to have gas everywhere. It's a problem. And it's an expensive repair. So 4 hours of repair and $360 for the fuel lines, that is about $760 at most. Well, no, the cost of the fuel lines, the list price is even more than that. So you're probably looking at $800 to $900 to replace the fuel lines at most shops. Kyle, any comments about this?
Yep. Those kind of things, you know, it's getting to the point, Vince, where you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You know what I'm saying? You've got an old 01 pickup, say, but a good four-wheel drive, and you need to put in $800 to $1,000, but you're going to have somebody fix it because, and you have to do it because the same truck will cost you $6,000, even if it's got 200,000 miles on it, at least around here. That same truck will cost you $6,000 to try to replace it. So it's like you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Who wants to pay these unbelievable prices? You know, the cost of parts and labor and everything. But at the same point, you're getting squeezed because you can't afford to buy a new one or even close to a new one, you know, even a 20-year-old one.
So there's a young man that we know in the village, and he was telling our son that he had a rebuilt transmission put in his truck, and he got the transmission from one of those big box automotive parts stores. The rebuilt transmission was $2,400 for a Chevy pickup truck. It was $400 to take the old one out, put the new one in, and it was like another $200 in other miscellaneous components, parts, sensors, etc., to finish the job. So $2,400 plus $400 plus $200, that's $3,000. And that's with a backyard-type mechanic doing the job. On a, I think, a 2006 Chevy pickup truck. So transmission work is getting really, really expensive. One of the things that, any quick comments before we get into reading spark plugs? It's going to be tough to do this quickly.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, Vince.
Okay. So, class, when we change spark plugs, we go through a procedure. And what we do is we take a piece of cardboard, like a cardboard, a case of vegetables, the lid for that, or the base for that, and we poke, let's say it's a V8, we'll poke in the exact arrangement that the spark plugs are in the vehicle. We'll label it front, and we'll poke four holes going in a row and then four holes in another row. And when we take the spark plugs out, we will poke those spark plugs through the hole in the cardboard so we know exactly where they came out of. We know exactly which cylinder. And then we look at them, and you'll see that sometimes they have just a normal light, fluffy, tan insulator with no deposits on it. That's normal. Now, if you find out that there is black soot, oily soot, you got a problem with that cylinder. So then you can do a compression check and find out whether it's the valves that are leaking, whether it's the rings that are leaking, but you're consuming oil in that cylinder, and that cylinder is not working properly. So you can read the spark plugs, and any good mechanic knows how to do that. So if you want to find out what I'm talking about, just go to your favorite search engine, type in reading spark plugs, and you'll see the chart, and you'll see the different colors and conditions of used spark plugs, and you'll be able to tell what's wrong with your engine. Kyle, very quickly, your comments.
Yeah, make sure that it's not your spark plug wire or your cap and rotor.
Yeah. Yeah, because a misfire of a spark plug could cause the spark plugs to tell you that there's a problem that you don't have. So how do you fix that, or how do you test that? Well, you can buy a spark plug wire tester, and you can insert that between the spark plug and the spark plug wire, and you can see a visual flash. Yep. Kyle, hey, thanks so much. We'll do it again in a couple weeks. Thank you for your wisdom and sharing your time.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.